Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Adyanastamasa paras,
Adyanastamasa paras,
Vayopasadita prabho,
Vayopasadita prabho,
Ramyatam nastadrishtinam,
Ramyatam nastadrishtinam,
Aramami daiva sangitai,
Aramami daiva sangitai,
Adyanastamasa paras, Vayopasadita prabho,
Vayopasadita prabho,
Ramyatam nashtadrishtinam,
Ramyatam nashtadrishtinam,
Armami daiva sangitai,
Armami daiva sangitai,
Adyanastamasa patra,
Adyanastamasa patra,
Vayopasadita prabho,
Vayopasadita prabho,
Ramyatam nashtadrishtinam,
Ramyatam nashtadrishtinam,
Armami daiva sangitai,
Armami daiva sangitai.
Word for word, adya,
adya,
today,
today,
na,
na,
of us,
of us,
tamasa,
tamasa,
of the darkness of material existence,
of the darkness of material existence,
para,
para,
the other side,
the other side,
tvaya,
tvaya,
by you,
upasadita,
increased,
increased,
prabho,
prabho,
O Lord,
Ramyatam,
who are wandering, nashtadrishtinam, who have lost their goal of life, karmami, on account of past deeds, daiva sangitai, arranged by superior authority. Translation, the citizens continue, today you have opened our eyes and revealed how to cross to the other side of the ocean of darkness. By our past deeds and by the arrangement of superior authority, we are entangled in a network of fruitive activities and have lost sight of the destination of life. Thus we have been wandering within the universe. Translation, please repeat. The citizens continue.
Citizens continue.
Today you have opened our eyes.
Today you have opened our eyes.
And revealed how to cross to the other side.
And revealed how to cross to the other side.
Of the ocean of darkness.
Of the ocean of darkness.
By our past deeds.
By our past deeds.
And by the arrangement of superior authority.
And by the arrangement of superior authority.
We are entangled in a network of fruitive activities.
We are entangled in a network of fruitive activities.
And have lost sight of the destination of life.
And have lost sight of the destination of life.
Thus we've been wandering.
Thus we've been wandering.
Within the universe.
Within the universe.
Good boy. In this verse, the words karmabhi daiva sangitai are very significant. Due to the quality of our actions, we come to the association of the modes of material nature. And by superior arrangement, we are given a chance to enjoy the fruitive results of such activities in different types of bodies. In this way, having lost sight of their destinations in life, all living entities are wandering in different species throughout the universe. Sometimes getting birth in lower species and sometimes existence in higher planetary systems. Thus we are all wandering since time immemorial. It is by the grace of the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead that we get the clue of devotional life. And thus, progressive success in our life begins. Here, this is admitted by the citizens of King Prithu. In full consciousness, they admit the benefit they derive from the activities of Maharaj Prithu. Adhyanas tamasaparas tvayopasha itaprabhu ramyatam nastadishtinam karmidaya sangitai. The citizens are continuing to glorify Maharaj Prithu, their king. And here Prabhupada, very carefully, he's used the words that they are in full consciousness as far as seeing the benefit and glorifying. And it's not a false, it is not false glorification, making a show. Making a show of glorifying. And one thing is that generally, those who are actually humble, those who are actually spiritually advanced, they don't like to hear their own praises. It's not a very natural thing. But sometimes someone in the position of the guru or the king or the teacher, even father and mother, especially Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepts, of course, all others accept the praises and actually accept on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On behalf. So they're accepting the praise, but actually this praise is meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there are those who are offering the praise. Of course, you know, in the material world, it's just the opposite thing. People like to hear their own praises. They like to hear. And after they're not getting the praise, they become very upset. Why, you didn't acknowledge my activities? I did so much. But you are not appreciating. I did so many wonderful things, but no one is saying anything. And they become very offended. And they may say some negative things about that person who didn't give them the honor and praise. Honor in this world is very much sought after. Now this is called a false prestige. You know, to be honored is prestigious, but actually from the spiritual point of view it is called false prestige. It's just superficial. It comes and goes according to the mood of those offering the honor, of those offering the praise. Generally, they are very motivated, they want something, or they can see potentially some benefit for them. Oh, you are so nice, you are so good, and then maybe you will give me something if I say these things. So generally, in the material world, one's interest is self-interest. But the devotee, the interest is Krishna's interest and the welfare of all. This is the more advanced personality. So in this world it is like that, unfortunately. So one can offer with some motivation, or one does it very robotically. And then this is why this word is used here by Prabhupada. They are in the full consciousness of when they are offering. It wasn't just robotically because everyone else is doing it. It's some ritualistic thing. Sometimes, you know, someone attends some ritual, some yajna. What is this yajna? Just like in Indonesia, in Bali especially, they have a lot of, they like to do a lot of yajnas and rituals. But when you ask the people, what is this thing you're coming to? No one knows exactly what this thing is. Just a matter of tradition. We're going to the ritual, the ceremony. What is it exactly? Some praise of something, but very robotically they do it because that's the custom is like that. But they don't understand. So Prabhupada was always emphasizing that we have to understand why we're doing everything. Otherwise, it will become very mechanical. Very mechanical. Of course, in the beginning, there's not that much deep feeling because we're covered over, as mentioned here, by the modes of material nature, especially by the mode of ignorance. Just like if someone is covered by a blanket, a more blanket or more thicker blanket, harder you can recognize who is the person underneath the blanket. So similarly, the soul is not exactly covered, but there's layers of covering. Not going on the soul, but covering. So because of that, one is affected, and one can't see things, one can't act normally in the spiritual sense, which is his natural position. His natural position is to be in the spiritual. But one is acting in an unnatural way in the material, although we're thinking it's natural. This is the illusion of the material. I was saying last night in the lecture, they asked me to give the lecture on the modes of material nature. And of course, sapram rajastamarati guna prakriti samvati bandanti maham dehidena maham. Krishna says that the living entity becomes bada, becomes conditioned. When coming to the world originally pure, that's like the rain falling from the sky, in the beginning is pure, but as it comes through the different atmosphere, becomes contaminated by the atmosphere, goes to the earth, becomes mixed with the mud and so on. So the soul is not exactly like that. It doesn't mix, but it doesn't actually become affected, but it's thinking it's becoming affected. It's thinking in that way. Just like if we surround ourselves by people, and we start to think like them, act like them, and if we go for many years like that, we become like them. So the living entity, when coming, is pure, but then becomes mixed and affected by the modes of material nature and cannot see things. Here, this word Prabhupada says this karma vidaiva sanghitai. And also this use of this nasta drishtinam, drishti, cannot see really, is seeing, but it doesn't see. Mentioned also in Bhagavad Gita. Those who are not situated on the path of the self-realization, they may try to see things, but actually they cannot see things. So this is because of the effect of the modes. So the citizens are praising, and it's not superficial, they are very much feeling in that way. It's not artificial thing. Going to flatter someone, and so on and so forth. One should actually, it is mentioned in the Shad, one should not artificially flatter someone just for the sake of flattering or just for some routine or some benefit. Not good for the person doing and not good for the person receiving, especially those who are under the modes of material nature. So, Maharaj Prithu has been praised, and you have opened our eyes and reveal how to cross to the other side of the ocean of darkness. This is very much almost like a traditional praise for and directed to someone who is acting like the guru. Of course, Adi Guru is Krishna. Adi Guru. And of course, the king. Now, in the previous verse, as it was mentioned that the citizens were saying that you are so affectionate. You are very naturally affectionate to the citizens. You're affectionate and not just in a superficial way. You're very much affectionate and wanting to see to the interests of the people, wanting to help them in a genuine way. In a genuine way. Not superficially. So this is, and why? Because you are full of mercy. So this is the greatness of your character. Now, someone who has good character, going back to the modes of material nature, especially modes of passion and ego, very much affect our good qualities. Our good qualities become contaminated by the modes. So the character is less than it was in the original state. The purity is less. So when the character is less, by the modes of material nature, your character is an unnatural situation. But Maharaj Prithu, he's so 100% a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that his character is very wonderful And because it's very wonderful, he naturally feels great compassion. He is very merciful. He wants to help others. Whereas, as I said, though especially in the mode of ignorance, they don't want to help the others. They just want to help themselves mainly, at the cost of others. This is generally one of the, as I was saying last night, there are certain symptoms to people who are in the, are very much affected by the modes of material nature. Just like when you're sick, you go to the doctor, there are certain symptoms. I've got too much, I'm very heated, or I'm very cold, or I'm coughing. So certain symptoms indicate what is your disease. But similarly, one who's trained in knowledge and one who's advanced will know by the symptoms what is the position of this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one. And some of these symptoms are given. This is like, for example, in the mode of ignorance. One is very lazy. Very lazy, doesn't like to do anything, likes everyone else to do things for him. He very much likes to accept, but doesn't like to give. Very, very lazy. And procrastinating. Procrastinating is another symptom. Okay. Means that something needs to be done here. Oh no, tomorrow I'll do it. And when tomorrow comes, the next day I'll do it. Always putting it off. They're procrastinating. See, and generally sleeping too much. Someone who sleeps too much has another symptom of the mode of ignorance. Some people, they sleep 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours. I knew one person slept 18 hours a day. But God has given certain body. Now you've got human body. If you like to sleep, then God is all-knowing, then better go to the body that is very good at sleeping. You go to the bear body or something like that. Now you can sleep 6 months. Kumbhakan. It's like tomorrow is Ram Navami. And you will hear the story of Lord Ram and Kumbhakan. He asked for the Nitya Tvam for Lord Ram, but it came out Nidra Tvam. Nidra Tvam means I want the eternal sleep. He wanted to ask eternal life. But it came the Nidra, the eternal sleep. And Lord Brahma said, oh, so be it. No. It came out wrong. It didn't come out right. Some trick. Someone has made me say like, okay, I can't be, my life can't be just sleeping. Though I already said, but that's true. You know, so I can't think of it. But I can modify. All right, half time sleeping, half time awake. So the many wonderful personalities and characters in Ram Lila. That's Lord Hanuman. Lord Hanuman. When you go to Ayodhya, first of all, you go to the Hanuman temple, very popular temple. So many go there before they go to the temple of Lord Ram. Lord Hanuman, actually, the tradition is that first of all, you're supposed to buy some, there are many sweet shops there, because it said Lord Hanuman likes sweets, especially like laddu. So everyone buys the sweets, and then they come, and they're very packed up. And there's many priests just there, and Hanumanji is there, and Ram is also there. But Hanuman is there in the front. And so everyone's just offering the sweets, and there's so many priests just taking the sweets all day. Making an offering to Hanuman. And then they said, you get the blessings of Hanuman to see Ram. So Hanuman was always chanting Ram, 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 Ram. He was always chanting. In fact, one time, and he very much appreciated great sadhus and great devotees. That's why there's one story that he met Narad Muni. Narad Muni came by nearby his ashram, where Hanuman was living with his father. And Narad Muni was playing his bina and chanting. Ram, Ram, Ram. Hanuman came there and he was just listening because he likes kirtan. He's a very good kirtan. Good madanga player, plays a, he likes a very. So he was just listening to the bina playing, and then he said, and then Narad Muni finished. And he said, oh, you were doing such nice kirtan and playing the bina very nicely. So can you teach me how to play bina and sing so nicely like yourself? Oh, yes, yes, yes. And then Narad Muni gave him a bina. So Hanuman, just by seeing Narada Muni and just by hearing, he immediately began to sing so sweetly, so sweet that even the rock he was sitting started to melt. And the Bina was on the rock and it was melting into the rock. And so when he finished, then all of a sudden he just got up and left without saying anything. And the Bina, now the rock became hard again. So when Narada Muni went to get the Bina out, he couldn't get it out. It was stuck in the rock. So he was calling out to Hanuman, Hanuman, come back, you have to sing again. and to melt this rock, otherwise I won't be able to get my Bina out from here. And so, but Hanuman didn't answer, and he was just walking to his ashram, and he was calling out, Narada Muni was calling out. So, and then he walked past his Kitara, his father, and his father said, why? Narada Muni is calling you. You're committing offense. You're ignoring him. But he didn't even answer his father. So then he went inside the ashram, and then Narada Muni went past and he said, oh, please forgive my son. No, it's all right. And he just followed him inside. But when he went into the room, the Hanuman would go in the other room. Then when Narada Muni went in that room, Hanuman would go in the other room. And then Hanuman came out, and then Kitara, his father, said, why are you so offensive? He is following, wanted something from you, but you were just ignoring him. Why? And so I just wanted him, I beg forgiveness, but he is such a great sadhu, I wanted his lotus feet in every room of our house. Yeah, so appreciative, Hanuman, of the great sadhus like Narada Muni. And he likes to do the kirtan. This is very great devotee. So Prithvi Maharaj also, he is hearing the praises, but later on we'll read in the next chapter how the four Kumaras come from the higher country system. They are very effulgent personalities. They came and immediately he stood up and offered respects to the Kumaras and bowed down to them. So he is very humble. This is one of the symptoms of someone who is very elevated, very, very humble, very, very enthusiastic. Just naturally enthusiastic, I was saying the other morning. Yeah, very naturally enthusiastic. If someone is not enthusiastic in their practice of the Krishna consciousness, that means that we have to examine the activities one is performing perhaps he is not doing so well, that is causing him not to be enthusiastic. On the other hand, someone in the mode of ignorance, as mentioned, one of the symptoms is that they're always morose, always in a depressed mood. This is one of the symptoms. One is always depressed. And of course, Rajagun means sometimes depressed, sometimes happy, and Rajagun means very attached to the results. You're working hard. Rajagun means you work very hard and you want the results. Very attached to it. When you get the result, very happy. Now I'm happy, I've got what I want. But if you don't get it, so Rajagun means going back and forth. You're happy, not happy, happy, not happy. Peaceful, and then angry, peaceful, then angry. But the mode of ignorance means, in one sense, more steady. always agitated. Always underlying anger. Underneath, the current will be underneath, angry, all the time angry, and always jealous of others. Rajagun also can be jealous of others, because Rajagun is very attached to possessing so many things, and increasing more, and then when someone has more than them, they become very jealous of them, why they have more, they insult them, they become a bit. So the modes of nature affect and twist the otherwise very natural position of ourselves as the soul. So it is said that one should not stay in the mode of ignorance. One should actually avoid the situation of the mode of ignorance. Because even it's not other people who are in the mode of ignorance, one should, unless one is very, very advanced spiritually and goes there and he can bring those people out from their ignorance to the higher level, then if one is a very fragile or beginning devotee, one should avoid that situation as far as possible, unless one goes there occasionally for preaching word. doing Harinam or giving some prasad or something like that, selling some books. But one should avoid that situation. So avoiding that situation, jhana sangha, that means that it can be the people who are very much in the mode of ignorance. Just like we see in the materialistic society, people gravitate in the mode of ignorance. They gravitate to the intoxication and to the different types of intoxication, the meat eating, very much mode of ignorance. And then when they get in the mode of ignorance, of course, then I was saying last night, then when someone is in the mode of ignorance, they very much haven't got control of their situation, very much. And then the Buddhas come. The Buddhas are going around everywhere. And then the Buddhas come and try to influence those people. So it's a compounded position. You go in the mode of ignorance, and the Buddhas come, then you get more crazy. They try to take advantage of you. They are saying so many things to you, do this, jump off the cliff, jump off the bridge. We hear the voices, I'm on the bridge, some voice is saying, jump off the bridge, what are you waiting for? Just jump! That may be some Buddha who just wants to have some, because there are different types of Buddhas also, some very malevolent, some are more benevolent, and some are very malevolent, they just want to see suffering, they are suffering, and they want to see others suffer. Or some others, so they just want to enjoy through that person, they haven't got a body, so it all becomes very compounded, entanglement, compounded entanglement and suffering and so on and so forth. So it's there in the mode of ignorance and also there in the mode of passion. Goodness is better, so when one is very advanced, so the goodness becomes more prominent. One's very steady, one's very dutiful, one seeks knowledge, all these different qualities of the scribe in the Shastras, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srinivatam Svakata Krishna, I think it's mentioned. By reading Bhagavatam, one becomes cleansed in the heart, becomes purified. And to help us come up to the higher position, the citizens are saying, you are helping us. Your character is so wonderful. The qualities of your character are so wonderful, you very naturally want to help us, not artificially. You naturally want to help us, you want to look after us, not only materially, but especially spiritually, which is the real help. Materially, yes, whatever one needs. The king has his duty to see that the people are comfortable as much as possible. But the real overriding duty of the king, of the leader, executive head, is to try to bring about the more spiritual position in society, elevate the people. So they are very grateful. They are very, very grateful. This is a symptom. So the citizens themselves are very advanced. Just by saying these things, we can understand the citizens are very advanced. Because, they're saying about Krikumar, he is very advanced, but they are also very advanced, even to know these things, even to say these things. They are also very humble. They are very grateful. They are very grateful. This is another symptom of someone who's an elevated person. They're very grateful, but I'm very grateful. Whereas in the mode of ignorance, they are very ungrateful. They have a sense of entitlement. You should be giving me these things. Why are you not giving me these things? They're not grateful. And suddenly, if someone gives you something, you don't pay any attention to that. Yeah, well, you should have given me this thing. Why took so long to give me this thing? They have a sense of entitlement that I deserve these things, and even they get them, they don't give appreciation. But we have some like that in Kali Yuga. Mostly is like that, very ungrateful, entitled, always criticizing everyone. This is another symptom of the mode of ignorance. They're both especially in the mode of ignorance, and can be also the mode of passion. Will be sometimes criticizing, sometimes praising. Like that. It'll be very opposite ends. It's mode of passion. When the person is blocking you from achieving your goal, then you criticize. If he's helping you, then you roll out the red carpet. He is so nice. If he's hindering you, he becomes the public enemy number one. You have to exterminate him. Well, this is Rajaguna. They're like that. Mode of ignorance is always criticized. No matter if he does a good thing or bad thing, it doesn't matter. He's still criticized. There's a mode of ignorance. And if you say something about that, well, why are you criticizing? You're the one criticizing. You're saying I'm criticizing? You're the one. There's another symptom of the mode of ignorance. Why are you saying I'm? You're the one that is doing it. They always do like this. Instead of being humble and say, yes, what are you saying? How can I improve? No. You're the one that's worse. You're 100 times worse than I am. Even they don't say it, there's anything wrong with it. No. So all these symptoms, there's so many places, and all these things are described. Someone who's advanced personality can immediately know what is the situation. But they don't just know, they just try to help if possible. But one has to be receptive. And the difficulty is those in the mode of ignorance, they're not very receptive. So therefore the advanced personalities have to try to create some sort of auspicious situation. Generally, when someone's not individually receptive, then we shouldn't try to force it, but try to create an atmosphere of more auspiciousness so they will become purified, perhaps to the point where they become receptive. If someone's receptive, then we can try to help them. But when someone's not, they're not. Because if you force, then they push. They become even more antagonized, actually, generally speaking. You try to force something. There's that old English saying, he who's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Maybe superficially you think, I've convinced him. Just like in the story of Ram Lila, who may be here tomorrow. When Ravana was cruising the universe looking for opponents, he was so powerful, he'd already defeated. When he wanted to challenge this deva or that deva, they went away. And then Narad Muni actually said, why don't you go to Yamaraj? Yamaraj is very powerful. The death personified is with him. And so many others. Time personified is with him. Also personified. And he went there, Ravana went there to challenge him. Oh, this sounds like a good challenge. If I defeat him, then my supremacy will be everywhere. So they went. He went with his rakshasas. They went there. And they saw the Yamadurus punishing the sinful. They saw all that. Not paying any heed. He thought that if I attack the Yamadurus, surely Yamaraj was there. So if I attack them, he will come. So he attacked them, and his rakshasas attacked them. But the Yamadurus were so powerful, they were annihilating the rakshasas, and they were starting to attack Ravana. Ravana was almost defeated by the Yamadurus, but he had one weapon of Lord Shiva that he used, and which emanated flame, just burnt them all to ashes. He invoked that Shiva weapon and it burnt them all to ashes. So this news came to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj came to the battleground and was taking up. Time personified said, don't worry, my lord, I will take care of this brother. And death personified said, no, don't worry, I will take you. You just stand back. But Yamaraj said, no, he has done to my servants. I have to go. So then there was a big battle, and then Yamaraj was definitely overpowering. He went for some time, and Ravana was very surprised because none could withstand him. So Yamaraj was he just took one weapon to kill Ravana. But then one voice came. So don't kill Ravana, because you are not to kill him. He is to be killed by Lord Rama. So stand back. So Yamaraj, that voice was actually the voice of Lord Rama. And so he thought, then he just disappeared, he became invisible. So when Ravana saw that, he immediately thought, aha, he's run away. he's afraid, he's run away, I am victorious. Now my reputation, I am the invincible one, even the powerful Yamara. He ran away afraid. Although he didn't know that actually Yamara just is. So someone who's in the mode of ignorance is like that. He very much boasts about what he's done, his achievements, likes to show off. And even if something it didn't happen, he'll say it did happen. But this is very much in the mode of ignorance. But, you know, those who are very elevated souls are very much in the mode of goodness and even transcendental. They are very humble. And actually, the Mahabhagavats, they are in a position, they don't say anything about anyone or even try to help anyone, because they just see everyone somehow or other serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their own way. So the Mahabhagavats, either from within, inspired by the Supreme Lord to come down from that level to actually start to distinguish who is suffering and who is more suffering and who needs to be helped, or directly the Lord says you have to go and try to help these people. So the real very, very advanced, they don't say anything about anyone. They just very absorbed themselves. As I said, they just see everyone serving the Lord in their own way. But the ones who come down from that platform, and then because they're inspired by the Lord, they start to see, okay, there's different positions, let me try to help them. So Prithu Maharaj is like that. So here they're saying, you have opened our eyes, is it? Now open their eyes, now open their eyes and reveal how to cross over the ocean, other side of the ocean of darkness. So the ocean of darkness is this material world in the mode of ignorance. It's compared to a dark ocean, a very dangerous ocean sometimes. And so you have opened our eyes. So someone who comes to open your eyes, that originally, of course, that is Krishna. And he says, Tesham Ivan Kampatam Aham Ajnana Jamtamaha Nasam Yamatma Bhavishma Jantipena Bhashita. He says, showing special mercy. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So here, the shining lamp of the knowledge, like a torch. Our eyes are closed now, although we see, we don't see. It's like our eyes are closed to the spiritual reality. So the guru, an Adi Guru, Krishna, is, and now he says to show them special mercy. Special mercy. Now, someone can be compassionate to someone else, help them, give them food or something like that, give them clothes, help them somehow or other, and be merciful to them. That's compassion in the ordinary sense. And that compassion in the ordinary sense may be helpful, but it's just temporary. But when Krishna says, to show them special mercy, means the spiritual mercy, opening the eyes. This is a special mercy. That is eternal. That is helping someone eternally. And so this one is the real friend. Krishna is our real friend. He is with us all the time. He is providing everything. And he is just waiting when you are going to be more and more receptive to opening your eyes to your own reality, into the spiritual world, into the reality of the Supreme Personality. And he is helping you. He himself, now it is said that Krishna is dwelling in their hearts, he says, destroy with the shining. So our ignorance is destroyed in two ways, it is said. Two ways. One from within, by the special mercy of Krishna. And then we often pray, Om Gyan Timurangasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. We say like that. Again, Chakshu Unmilitam. Again, this chakshu, this vision. And here, like the sun, the lamp, or dipena as we use here, other places, the glowing lamp, or sometimes the sun. So within, with the torch of knowledge, Krishna helps us, and without, with the torch of knowledge, the guru is helping us. The guru. So someone who is actually guru, he is like that. Someone who's guru will help us by opening our eyes with the torch of the transcendental knowledge. Someone who's like that, he is actually guru. He is actually the guru. He's opening our eyes with transcendental knowledge. And that transcendental knowledge, of course, is coming down from the Supreme Personality of God. But this is real guru. Some who present themselves as guru, And instead of giving enlightenment, so the guru gives enlightenment, transcendental enlightenment. It's not so much, and Prabhupada actually used to say sometimes, Some gurus, they show the miracles, they create some ash, or they show how to do the levitation or something like that. But that this is not... Real guru is enlightenment. I remember one time in Hyderabad, we were doing in the Pandal program, and in the end of the lecture, there were questions, and one lady asked, Swami, in India here we have many who can do the miracles. Can you do any miracle? And Prabhupada was silent, and then he said, yes, I'm doing the miracle. He said, here, and he pointed to all of us, he said, these, my disciples previously, were so attached to the materialistic things. Now they have given up and taken the spiritual path within a very short time. This is a miracle. This is truly the miracle, he said. And everyone applauded, all the devotees, oh, anymore. And all the crowd clapped, you know, yeah, this is. So this is a real miracle. The other thing, some siddhi or something like that, it may be very impressive, but actually the real help comes not from showing these things or teaching someone how to do those things. It comes in and giving the enlightenment and the true enlightenment. That will come by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who I am. Now, generally, we are very conditioned by the modes of material nature. According to how we are, that can come immediately or can take some time according to how you apply. Advancement, it will come according to the attitude of the follower. So this is the greatest benefit, and this is why they're praising Prithu Maharaj. He's opening their eyes by his own example and by his arrangement of things in the kingdom. He's arranging for the spiritual activities and so on. He's encouraging individually. He takes genuine... He actually enjoys seeing to the interests of the citizens. He takes more pleasure and seeing their happiness than his own happiness. This is also a symptom of someone who's very, very advanced. Someone who's very, very advanced takes more pleasure in others. Just like Srimati Radharani takes more pleasure in seeing Krishna's happiness than her own happiness. And of course, Krishna, he likes to see Srimati Radharani's happiness more than he wants to enjoy. He takes greater pleasure in seeing how others are happy. So this is Krishna, this is Srimati Radharani. And of course, if one gets the special mercy of Srimati Radharani, then, of course, one can get the special mercy of Krishna. So this special mercy, I dwelling in the heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of the ignorance. We have been wandering throughout the universe and going from one life to the other, the citizens say. And this is all arranged by superior authority. So they're very knowledgeable. They're very knowledgeable. They're superior. It's not like karma mimamsa philosophy that just by our actions we automatically will get the result. No, it's not. By our actions, but actually it is permitted by the Supreme Personality of God. He is there, a super soul, accompanying us. So he sees your actions and he gives you appropriate reaction to your actions. So this is going on not solely by our actions, but ultimately under superior authority. We are entangled and we have lost sight of the goal of life, of the destiny, and by your mercy you have opened our eyes and revealed to us how to cross over to the other side of the ocean of darkness. A very wonderful praise and prayer to Prithu Maharaj. So Hare Krishna, I'll read this again. Adhyanas tamasa parat Prayokasaritaprabho Brahmyatam Nasta Dishtinam Kamani Daiva Samgitai. The citizens continue, today you have opened our eyes and revealed how to cross to the other side of the ocean of darkness. By our past deeds and by the arrangement of superior authority, we are entangled in a network of fruitive activities and lost sight of the destination of life. Thus we have been wandering within the universe. Anyone got any question or comment?
I was wondering, you mentioned about the modes of material nature. And as practitioners of Krishna consciousness, we also see, I see myself, you know, very much affected by compassion many times. So, is it that we continue on Krishna consciousness and eventually we come to...
Oh yes, the only course to take, because these things are very, very powerful. The material world is daivi actually, and it's very, very powerful, and one cannot cross, but one who surrenders unto me will be able to cross over it. So yes, anger and greed and lust and envy are very powerful, especially in the mode of ignorance is very strong. And everywhere there is ignorance, and there you just go one place, other place, and so much ignorance you get affected. So how are you going to come out of it? Well, practically impossible. Practically impossible. You can try this, try that. So temporarily it may have some effect, maybe relieving your tension or agitation, so on and so forth. I've read reports that many people they're having trouble sleeping at night. Because they're so much in anxiety about this, and they can't sleep. They toss and they turn. Even they go home, they can't relax. They go to the meditation classes. My brother Pratapana, in his center, one night a week, he has these different stages. He invites people, and he invites people to do the meditation, and he has very slow chanting of Hare Krishna. And on the more Bhagavati, like that. And those who are more interested, then he invites them to the more kirtan. And those who are more interested, then he invites to the lecture. But he says that the people who come for the meditation, he's got the mats and everything like that, and he has the music and everything. And he charges like $25. And I said, why can't they just go home and do like that? He said, no, the people, they can't go home, because if they go home, there's another anxiety. They can't, even at home, they can't relax. They have to come here. And they pay $25 to do it. Because we give them some prasadam and things like that. But they said they relax. And, I said mostly when they go like that, lying on the mat, half of them go to sleep. But people, they can't relax very well, and they've got all these things. So how to do it? Okay, you can try this, you can try the other thing, and do so many things. Whether it's take some medicine, or whether it's take some therapy, take some counselling, or, you know, just to change the lives. But if these things are superficial and temporary, if you want real solution, you must take to the genuine spiritual life. And, yourself, every one of us, we feel the anger comes up sometimes, the lust comes up. So how to get, you have to stay on the path of the Krishna consciousness. Only in this way will you overcome it, actually. But you have to have faith in that thing. If you haven't got faith, then you will find you'll be looking for some of the other things. Just chanting is sufficient. I remember one time in Adelaide, one lady asked me at the end of the class, she said, what do you do for your meditation? I said, we chant Hare Krishna. She said, yes, but what else do you do? I said, we chant more Hare Krishna. There's no need to do anything else. This is enough. This is more than enough. This chanting will take you back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada said one time, it's like a rocket ship. If you want to get on, you just do it. But okay, so now chanting. Now how to chant very nicely. You have to try to go to the pure chanting. Everyone is encouraged to do it. But now if you want to go rapidly, all right, try to avoid the offences in the chanting. We know these things, you know, what are the anarchists, what are the offences. But try to do purely chanting, and then very quickly. So this chanting is very sufficient thing, the ultimate goal, and is the means and the end. You know, generally the other yoga, you do the asana, the pranayama, and then you come to the samadhi, and then you go to the brahmanas. So the means is different from the end. But, you know, in the devotional service, the beauty is that the chanting is the means. You're just chanting, and in the end, there's more chanting. more ecstatic chant. It's the means and the end. That's why it's so blissful. The bhakti yoga. So blissful. But to have full faith in that, one needs good association. One needs to follow the thing nicely. And then you'll have more and more faith. But if your faith is diminishing, then you'll find, oh, I have to do other things. But actually, there's no good. Just do more chanting. But try to purify your chanting.
In the
Bhagavatam about what? The Paramahansa?
It says that only fools and Paramahansas are happy. And also we know that people in mode of ignorance, they're always more of the success. So how to reconcile these two statements?
Only the Paramahansas are happy and the other ones are...
And fools. It says in and fools and Paramahansas.
Fools. yeah. Well, yes, but you know, that's true, because the fools, but they are falsely happy. You know, you have to understand that thing. The fool is happy. He is, so many things, he is just a fool. He's jumping off here, I'll jump off the cliff, I'll be very happy. Then he is dead. So a fool can be like that. There's one saying, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. But he's a fool. He's a madman, he's a fool, but that's the fool. He just thinks he is happy even in the midst of so much suffering. I'm very happy. So that's a fool. And the Paramahansas, they are the truly happy ones. We are in the middle somewhere. We are on the path, we are going towards the Paramahansa. Hopefully we're not going back to the fools. we were also the fools. The problem is that we actually think that others are the fools, but actually we were also the fools. We are thinking we are very happy, so we were the fools also. We are not separate from the other fools. We are also the fools. So, when we take up the path of the devotional service, we go from the fools and then we're going to the path of the Paramahansas. But there's some time separating, and then you have to follow your practices and everything like that. But then eventually, yeah. So then we're not completely happy because we're just in the intermediate level. But if you follow very faithfully, and then Krishna will help you, and somebody will help you, and then you ultimately you will reach the Paramahansa. You also. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare